Калинка моя, саду ягода, малинка, малинка моя.
Yeah. Hello, hello, and welcome back. I'm your host Kerim, and you are listening to Euroneuro, the Eurovision Song Contest show on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver, broadcasting live from the University of British Columbia, which is situated on the traditional, ancestral, and stolen territories of the Hankaminum-speaking Musqueam people. We are in the 15th episode of Euroneuro, where we are going backwards in recapping the Eurovision Song Contest year by year. In this episode, we will be talking about Eurovision 2009, which is the best edition of Eurovision that I have watched. It was an amazing show with great production and great songs, and that's why I wanted to start with the opening ceremony of this year, the part that features Alexandro Red Army Choir, a choir that was founded in the Soviet era. And it's an ensemble consists of a male choir, an orchestra, and a dance ensemble. All three parts of the choir or ensemble, let me say, were on the stage together, and they were joined by Gypsy Roman Theater, and they performed classical Russian folk songs such as Kalinka, Katyusha, Ochi Chornye, as well as Dorogoy Dlonyu, which is also known by most for its English cover, Those Were the Days. And in the last part of the opening ceremony, the famous duo of Tatu, who are also former representatives of Russia in Eurovision 2003, took part in the opening ceremony as well, performing their song Not Gonna Get Us together with the Red Army Choir. As I said before, and probably will say it quite a few more times, 2009 was an exceptional episode of Eurovision, with many countries putting out the best they can. And because of this, there are a lot of songs that I want to play. I have at least 12 songs, to be more precise, that I want to play on the show, and I might need to spare the Eurovision 2009 coverage into two episodes. So let's see. It's a quiet Tuesday evening here at the station. Due to the transit workers' strike, not many people are in the campus or around the station. So thank you for tuning in. A big shout out to Sophie, who is listening from Vancouver. And she's an avid fan of the show and listening for the first time live. Big shout out to Sophie. And thank you for tuning in. We are going to start discussing the Eurovision 2009, and I'll start with a brief introduction. Eurovision 2009 was took place in Olympic Stadium of Moscow following Russia's win in 2008 with Dima Bilan and his song Believe. Eurovision 2009, however strong a year it was in terms of the quality of that quality of the songs that were sent in, had a very clear favorite coming into the contest. It was Alexander Rybak representing Norway with his song Fairy Tale, which I'm sure most of you will recognize. It won the contest with 387 points, the highest tally any country has achieved in the history of Eurovision under the then voting system. This was almost 170 points ahead of Iceland, which received its best result thus far, with an amazing song. We will also hear that. But the difference between the first and second is a clear indicator of the high quality of the competition that year. Honestly, I thought Alexander Rybak's Fairy Tale was not the best song of the year and wasn't the type of the song that I would want to see winning the Eurovision. It's a nice song, but I would just give it a very mid-ranking if I put the songs of Eurovision 2009 in an order. So we will start by listening to the winning song, Norway represented by Alexander Rybak, with his song Fairy Tale, and then we will continue discussing the Eurovision 2009.
Years ago, when I was younger, I kinda
Welcome back, everyone. You are on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver, and you are listening to Euroneuro, the Eurovision Song Contest show of CITR. And we have just heard the winner of Eurovision 2009, Alexander Rybak, with his song Fairy Tale, representing Norway. I'm sure it prompted many people to start playing the violin, and it became the hit, one of the hit songs of that summer, summer of 2009. As I said, it's a really nice song, and Alexander Rybak is a really good artist. He actually made a comeback to the Eurovision 2018. He was one of the favorites, though, and he, again, did a very good job with his song. It was named That's How You Write a Song. He represented Norway again. He, in fact, won his heat of the semifinals. He came in first. But he couldn't get to win the overall overall contest, which was won by the occupying state of Israel, which even though like continued its massacre genocide in Gaza right now, it's still not evicted from Eurovision Song Contest. So moving on, as I said, Fairy Tale was not my favorite song of that year, and I'm going to play my most favorite songs in the later parts of the show. But before that, I want to play the song that came in the second place. Is It True by Johanna, representing Iceland. It was Iceland's best entry until then. I think they had several even better entries in the later years. But up to 2009, it was the best entry of Iceland. Best shot at winning the Eurovision. And had they not competed in the same year with Fairy Tale, I think they would have won the competition. So I'm going to play that song now, Is It True by Johanna, representing Iceland. After that, we will take a short break, which I will be back right after.
Say you really know me. Not afraid to show me what is in your eyes. So tell me about the rumors. Are the only rumors? Are the only lies? Falling out of a perfect dream. Coming out of the blue. Is it true? Is it true? Is it over? Did I throw it away?
MRG Live is pleased to present the legendary DJ Shadow live at the Vogue Theater on January 23rd. Don't miss your chance to catch this pioneering producer performing music from his latest release, Action Adventure, alongside his rich 3-decade-long catalog, which includes collaborations with artists such as Run the Jewels, Nas, and De La Soul, among others. For tickets, head to admitone.com and search for DJ Shadow.
Hey Vancouver! For fans of Ocean Alley, Flip Turn, and Still Woozy, alt rockers Juice are bringing their signature blend of rock, pop, R&B, and hip hop to the Biltmore Cabaret on February 3rd, with support from Hembree. Tickets are on sale now. Get yours at admitone.com.
Canadian Arts and Culture Organizations. Student Work Placement Program at the Cultural Human Resources Council is able to provide wage subsidies for post-secondary level students to work for you. A 2-minute phone call to confirm your eligibility, 20 minutes to complete the online application, and you'll secure thousands of dollars in less than 2 weeks. If you hired, currently employ, or would like to hire students, we want to hear from you. Find our contact info at culturalhrc.ca.
Welcome back, everyone. You are on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver, and you are listening to Euronero, the Eurovision Song Contest show of CITR. We are talking about Eurovision 2009, best edition of Eurovision, in my opinion. And we've just heard Iceland's Eurovision 2009 entry, Is It True, by Johanna. They came in second. They did very well. Their misfortune was to be in the same contest with Alexander Rybak's Fairy Tale. So moving on, now that we have covered the top two songs, I'm going to move on to my favorite songs from this year. One of them, I'm saving my most favorite ones to the later parts of the show. One of my most favorite songs was the entry by Russia. Russia was the host of the contest that year, and they did a great job in both the production of the show, also in the songs that they participated with. Their song was called "Mamo," meaning "mom" in Ukrainian, and it was performed by a Ukrainian singer, Anastasia Prikhotko. The song is bilingual. Its chorus part is sung in both Ukrainian and Russian. The part of the chorus that starts with "mamo" is in Ukrainian. If it starts with "mama," that part is Russian. I really like the song. The staging is also very good. However, the Eurovision 2009 had the problem that the vocalists' sounds were not very good during the live performances. Anastasia Prikhotko also suffered from this, as well as Turkey's representative Hadise. And I think that also being the host of the show affected its ranking. It was a great song. I think it was one of the best performances, most powerful performances by Russia in the contest. However, it came in 11th. I won't play the live performance, but at the beginning of the live performance, sound of the singer was not very clear. And this was also a similar thing also happened in Turkey's performance. When I was listening, I could really tell that the lead singer Hadise's voice was not heard. The back vocalist's voice was even louder. I think there were problems with that, but other than that, it was a great production that year. And now I'm going to play Russia's song, but before that, I want to touch on the Russia's everlasting issues or conflicts with Ukraine that was also implicated in the Eurovision that year. Russia in 2009 sent a song in that had Ukrainian part, and sent a Ukrainian singer to represent the country. I don't think that that would ever happen again. I don't think Russia will ever be in Eurovision again. Probably, I don't think so. But that year came after 2008, where Russia had an aggression towards Georgia in 2008. And both because of that, and also due to the tension between Georgia and Russia, Georgia initially withdrew from the competition. But prior to the Eurovision Song Contest in 2009, there was a competition of Junior Eurovision. And in that competition, Russia gave 12 points to Georgia. That prompted them to come back to the contest. However, the song that they wanted to send in was called We Don't Wanna Put In. And they... It, of course, was a reference to the, then Prime Minister or President, I don't remember. Anyway, it was a clear reference to Vladimir Putin. And the European Broadcasting Union, EBU, wanted Georgia to change the name of the song, We Don't Wanna Put In. Georgia refused to do so. So even though they agreed to come back to the competition, eventually they ended up not participating. Georgia came back in the later years, although didn't perform very well. We will hear their songs, some of their songs in our upcoming episodes. So right now, I'm thinking if I covered everything about Russia's entry, I think I did. Now we are going to hear Russia's entry for Eurovision 2009. It's called Mamo, and it's a song about regret. So back when I was listening to the song when I was a child, of course, it never occurred to me. But right now, listening to the song's lyrics, I'm thinking whether it was a reference or it the meaning of the song's lyrics implied that... implied the regret that Russia thinks Ukraine should be feeling due to the separation after the dissociation of the Soviet Union. But I'm not sure, of course. There's no way I can be sure about that. It's a song about a child who regrets not paying attention to, let me say, or listening to their mother's advices. And it's a very powerful song. It's a very touching song. The except for the vocal except for the vocal issues, like the microphone issues, the execution was also very good. And they ended up finishing 11th in the Eurovision 2009. Without further ado, I will play "Mamo" by Anastasia Prihotko, representing Russia in Eurovision 2009.
Заклятий ворог мій навіки поселився у душі моїй живій. Та коли мав піти перстенем золотим, обручив мене собою та вічар не захистив, і на волю мою долю не
мамо, а ти ж мені казала.
Welcome back, everyone. You are on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver, and you are listening to Euro, the Eurovision Song Contest show of CITR. We've just heard Mamo by Anastasia Prikhodko representing Russia in Eurovision 2009. It was one of my most favorite on-stage performances. The stage design was something that I couldn't forget since my childhood. It starts with a singer and her image in several different screens in the background, and the image of the singer in the background screens get older as the song progresses. So that's something like kind of haunted me when I was a child. It was kind of a scary image, but a very good depiction of what the song talks about, like getting mature and getting older and quote unquote wiser, maybe. So I listened. I watched this Eurovision 2009 when I was a child. I was 13 years old back then, and my most favorite song during that time was the entry of Moldova. I always really like Moldova's entries. Although as I grew up, my music taste changed, and now listening to this year Eurovision 2009 back, my favorite songs are different entries. And whenever someone asks me what my most favorite Eurovision song ever is, I first ask the question: is it all time Eurovision or only the Eurovisions that I watched? If it's all time Eurovision, it's Ireland's winning entry in Eurovision 1996, Aymar Queen's The Voice. That's my most favorite Eurovision song of all time. But if somebody asked me what is my most favorite Eurovision songs among the ones that I have watched live, I fail to decide between two songs from Eurovision 2009. It's definitely from Eurovision 2009, but either one of the two that I'm going to play in the upcoming parts of the show. But before that, I want to play Moldova's entry, Nelly Ciobanu's Horrid in Moldova, which was my most favorite song that year when I was a child, and I even voted for this entry. So without further ado, let's listen to Horrid in Moldova by Nelly Ciobanu representing Moldova in Eurovision 2009. After that, I will again take a very short break, which I will be back right after.
Hey, 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 you're Cannot be alone just for now.
Are you looking for an album by a local artist where you can dance around to and cry to at the same time? Well, look no further. Once More With Feeling by Masank from Fanta Records is out now on all streaming platforms and can be purchased on Bandcamp. This is an album that has all the versatility you're looking for, from songs like Sober Most Nights to Note to Self, which is playing right now.
Canadian Arts and Culture Organizations. Student Work Placement Program at the Cultural Human Resources Council is able to provide wage subsidies for post-secondary level students to work for you. A two-minute phone call to confirm your eligibility, 20 minutes to complete the online application, and you'll secure thousands of dollars in less than 2 weeks. If you hired, currently employ, or would like to hire students, we want to hear from you. Find our contact info at culturalhrc.ca.
Are you a writer?
Listener?
Dreamer?
Music nerd?
Want to cover artists?
Visit venues?
Write something?
Events?
Personal essays?
Anything!
Submit to Discorder magazine and then take it a step further on Hail Discordia with your hosts, Zoe
and Izzy. Hail Discordia is an audio translation of Discorder magazine. We interview writers, play music and soundscapes, and do a deep dive of each zine issue. Hail Discordia plays at 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on the third Thursday of every month on CITR 101.9 FM.
Submit something for the magazine and come onto the show, or just tune in and listen. We promise it's worth it.
Welcome back, everyone. You are on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver, and you are listening to Euro, the Eurovision Song Contest show of CITR. And this was the last break of this episode. After that, we will just sail through to the end. Before the break, we heard Hora Din Moldova by Nelly Ciobanu representing Moldova in Eurovision 2009, which was my most favorite song back then when I was a child. My most favorite songs of this year, also my most favorite songs among the Eurovisions that I watched live, are Estonia's and Armenia's entries. I will start with Estonia's entry, which is by Urban Symphony, and it's called Randayad. It roughly travels to English as Travelers, and it performed very well. It brought one of Estonia's best results to the country in the Eurovision Song Contest, coming in sixth place. And it's a great mix of folk songs with symphonic tunes, and all in addition to that, it is in Estonian, which is the local language of the participating country. All of them combines and makes this song one of my most favorites of all time. But before moving on, I realized that I made some injustice to the Hora Din Moldova. I didn't praise that enough, Moldova's entry. It was also a great folkloric song, which Moldova is pretty good at. Like, Moldova is, I think, one of the most successful countries of Eurovision Song Contest. They always surprise me and send really good songs. They always include some folk elements, and Eastern European folk is one of the best parts of Eurovision every year. I really like listening to them. So I couldn't have not mentioned that. After saying that, I'm going to first play Estonia's entry, Randayad by Urban Symphony. And after that, I will move on to Armenia's song, which is Can Can, performed by Inga and Anush, twin sisters. And they also did pretty well, but I'm going to spend some time talking on the song. So let's first hear Estonia's entry, and then after that, we will talk about Armenia's entry.
Liiva lendab kui jää külma lund.
Welcome back, everyone. You are on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver, and you are listening to Euro Neuro, the Eurovision Song Contest show of CITR. We've just heard one of the best entries of Eurovision 2009, Estonia's entry Randayad by Urban Symphony. Moving on, I'm going to play my most favorite song of this year, and also one of the best songs that I have watched live on Eurovision. It's Armenia's entry, Can Can by Inga and Anush. It starting with the song, it has everything inside. I think it's the exact representation of how a perfect Eurovision entry should be. It has folk elements. It has all types of rhythms. It has instrumental. It has folkloric instruments. It is sang in the original language or the mother tongue of the or maybe official language, I should say, of the country that it represents. It just has it all. It had a perfect representation. It had a perfect staging. The performance was amazing by Inga and Anush, and unfortunately, it was not reflected in their result. They came in, I'm checking right now, 10th. They finished in top 10, which is really good, not bad. But I think this song deserves much, much, much better. As I said earlier, so I want to spend some time talking on this song, this entry. As I said earlier, that was the year where Russia and Georgia, the tensions between Russia and Georgia was somewhat less. And also Russia sent a song in partly Ukrainian, sent a Ukrainian singer. There was a loosening of the tensions between countries, I want to say, at least at the stage of the Eurovision. This was also reflected in the tension between Turkey and Armenia. And I remember those years were... That saw some efforts from both of the countries to make the relationships to form a connection between the two countries. Just the year before, in 2008, Turkey and Armenia played a qualification game for the World Cup, if I remember correctly, FIFA Men's World Cup. I apologize. I want to correct FIFA Men's Soccer Football World Cup. And that game was watched together by the presidents of the two countries, and it ended in a 1-1 draw. And at the end of the game, I remember the players of each team exchanged some flowers. This was in 2008. The year later, in 2009. There was a friendly game between Turkey and Armenia in Turkey. And that game was solely for diplomatic reasons. And these were also... This was a men's soccer game. I forgot to mention that again. I'm sorry. Those were the times where the two countries were trying to form a diplomatic relationship, at least to begin with. I have to give some background. The reason the tensions are or there is a conflict between the two countries, if the Turkey's I forgot the English word for it, but it's because of the Armenian genocide that Turkey denies its role, denies. So that is the reason between tension, and those were the times where there were some efforts. I remember in the game, in the friendly game in 2009, in the stadium in Turkey, there were some banners that said in English, "Welcome to the country of Hrant." Hrant refers to the journalist Hrant Dink, who was murdered in Turkey in 2007. That was a racist murder. That was a fascist murder, and it's a continuation of the Armenian genocide. This murder, the memory of this murdered journalist was reminisced last week in 19th of January, because he was murdered on the 19th of January in 2007. And he was an amazing human being. He did so much for the connection between Armenian and Turkish communities in Turkey. He founded a newspaper in Armenian, Agos, and he did a lot. He spoke a lot. He told about the genocide a lot. He was very vocal about it. And as a result of this, he was murdered. I attended a webinar commemorating him last week, and I heard amazing talks about how his organized struggle impacted the country, how much of a fighter, how much of an intellectual, how much of an progressive intellectual he was, and how his struggle had some intersectionality with the Kurdish people's struggle in Turkey and other regions of Kurdistan. So it was a great talk. He was a great person whose murder caused a great loss to all communities that try to live in peace together. So I wanted to commemorate him in this episode as well. So back to the Eurovision. Between Armenia and Turkey, there were exchange of points, which is very rare, which started in, I think, 2007 or 2008. In 2008, I remember Turkey giving 12 points to Armenia. And in this year, 2009, Turkey gave 10 points to Armenia in semifinal and 6 points in the final. And Armenia gave 10 points to Turkey in semifinal and 5 points in the final. And I remember a small anecdote, like Turkey's representative that year in Eurovision Song Contest, Hadise, is well known in Turkey and in Europe, I think, by her beauty. And she had a question about that. I don't exactly remember the question, but in her answer, she said, "There are as beautiful contestants here, like the participants of Armenia, Inga and Anush." That was also an anecdote that I remember from that year about the relationships between the delegations of Turkey and Armenia. So I talked about the background a lot, but which is what I do in this show. I again want to remind how much I love Armenia's Eurovision 2009 entry. And I'm going to close the episode with that song, Inga and Anush, twin sisters, performance of Can Can. It's a great song. I really hope you'll stick around to listen to it. I'm going to end this episode after this. I have so much more songs that I want to play from Eurovision 2009. That's why there's going to be a part two of this in the upcoming episode in 4 weeks. I will be talking more on Eurovision 2009, playing more wonderful songs from Eurovision 2009. It's just a year where all the countries do their best. Even UK sends a great song. I will play that in the next episode, I promise. So thanks for tuning in again, and I hope you'll have a wonderful evening, wonderful rest of your evening. I'll close the show with one of my most favorite Eurovision songs of all time, Armenia's entry for Eurovision 2009, Can Can by Inga and Anush. Until our next episode, take care and goodbye.
I say? If you're gonna tell me nothing, how can I smile when you are alone?